Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Loveline with neo-feminist entrepreneur and talk show host Amber Rose.
I'm going to be talking about sex, relationships, and self-confidence. Everything from sexual curiosity to self-empowerment.
Amber is joined by certified sex therapist Dr. Chris Donahue.
I'll be talking about my own personal experiences and answering intimate questions from fans.
This is Loveline with Amber Rose.
Hey, you're listening to Loveline with Amber Rose and Dr. Chris. What's up, Dr. Chris?
Hey, you. How's it going?
Good, man. What's up? How was your weekend?
How was your week? Well, you know, newly singles have been out there dating, but we don't need to get into all that. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm still recovering. I'm a little slow motion because I'm on a lot of Percocets right now. So don't make me laugh. My chest hurts.
Sorry.
So for people out there that don't know, I got breast reduction surgery and my boobs look absolutely beautiful.
I just saw them.
Yeah.
I hope the world's ready. No, they look great. Your doctor did a great job.
Yeah. I'm so excited. And so, you know, I've just been like online shopping and getting cute little shirts. Cause you know, when you have big boobs, you can't get cute, cheap little shirts that like tie in the back, and you know, you need full coverage, like a, you know, a big grandma bra or no bra and just let them flap all over the place. But now I'm really excited, but I'm still in recovery. It takes like 4 to 6 weeks and I'm only on my second week now. And you motherfuckers got me downstairs in the podcast room.
Work, work, work.
You know, mama gotta work. So
gotta keep the machine moving.
Yeah, man.
Everyone misses you. Everyone was wondering where you were, where you've been. So
how was last week's podcast? I didn't even get a chance to listen to it.
It was good. It was good. I mean, we definitely missed you. Tess is cool as shit. We laughed a lot,
talked a lot about
Disneyland.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. They're there like once a week, no joke, and I've been begging them to take me with them. So
oh shit, that's sick. Tess is so beautiful. I mean she's amazing.
Yeah, her and Nick are fun. And so I was like, please take me to Disneyland. I want to go to Disneyland and fall in love. I've been dating, so maybe that's what I'll do on some of my future dates is go to Disneyland together.
That's cool.
Yeah. I wanna definitely be with someone who can find joy in the simple things.
I hear you, man.
Right?
I'm not mad at that
no
at all.
No complexity.
Yeah.
And works in maybe an industry that's a little simpler.
Yeah. You know. God bless them. All right. What stories do we have today?
We have a lot. I actually have a lot for you.
Okay.
So what do you want to do first? Do you want me to quiz you or do you want us to shake our heads and scream what's wrong with the world?
You know, I'm a nerd, so I'm going to go for the quiz.
Bow, 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 bow. Okay. So this one is about a concept called micro-cheating.
Okay.
Okay. So as the word kind of implies,
I feel like we talked about this before.
We sure did. It's those little microways. So they did an article on all the different ways that people have claimed partners have cheated that weren't the overt, like had sex with someone.
Right.
So I'm going to throw some at you.
Okay.
And just weigh in on whether or not in your mind, in your definition, this would fall under cheating. So are you cool with?
Okay.
Is Amber Rose cool with? Your partner watching porn by themselves while or also watching someone on cam, like one of those cam sites. Are you cool? Would you cool with your partner doing that?
Cam?
Yeah.
I've never been in that situation. But porn, yes.
What about a cam?
I don't
know.
Someone
live on the other end.
I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that.
Got to think about it.
Yeah, I feel like, because I feel like porn stars are there for, you know, for a reason. For you to, you know, watch them have sex, you can masturbate and get pleasure off of that. But an actual person you get to interact with cam, correct?
It depends. Some of them, well, actually all of them, yes. Either you just type in a message that they can respond to where they do not see you, or there's ones where they do see you and it's kind of
reciprocal. No, I feel like that's too much for me.
Too far, too much.
Yeah, I just feel like because you can develop more of an emotional connection to that person.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
I think that's why some people actually do like it, is that it is more interactive. It is more personalized. Would you date someone in the porn industry? Just FYI.
Would I date someone in the porn industry?
Just go right in on a loaded question.
I'm going to say no, only because I'm really jealous.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to really have a lot of confidence and trust. You got to also, like in any field, date someone who's also going to be respectful of how their work impacts you and the boundaries you might need. And not everyone's willing to do that.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah.
All right. So let's go through. Dinner with someone that they're attracted to. Would you be cool with your...
Fuck no. Are you crazy?
Why am I even asking that? And shaking her head. I agree. I think that would be hard on me. But you know what? I would probably be more inclined to say, if I trust you and you tell me there's a bigger reason and purpose for it, go enjoy.
I mean, that's the thing. If it's a dinner meeting for business,
right,
and I know the other person is attractive and I'm not fucking blind,
right,
you know, I'm going to take the high road and be like, babe, do what you got to do. I know this is only business. I'm not tripping. But, okay, you know, I'll be peeking through the kitchen. I'm going to be right there like...
That looks like mother over there.
I wish a bitch would.
This is a good one, too. How about, would you be okay with your partner having a work spouse?
What the fuck does that mean?
Bitch, who am I? I'm your work husband.
Oh.
So people got to be okay with you having a work husband. Are you okay with them having a work wife?
I mean, if it's all fun and games and playing,
okay,
you know, because me and you aren't fucking.
No.
So it's still like, you know, it's my work husband, but we're just, you know.
I love this. How about them? This is stupid. I don't even know this is on here. Them keeping their dating profile. I mean, really?
What?
Yeah. We're not even going to answer that one. Sexting. I already know where you weigh on that. Sending racy photos. That is sexting. Following an ex on social media.
I got a problem.
Really?
Yeah. Fuck, say more. Yeah.
What's that about?
Why? For what?
Because I'll just play devil's advocate. Because they might say to you, well, Amber, because at one time this person was really important to me and there's still meaningful things about their life that are, I don't know.
That's fine. When you run into them at the grocery store, you can say hi. I'm fine with that.
A little smile and a nod.
You can say hi, introduce me. But you don't need to see what they're doing every day. That's crazy.
Oh, man. I actually don't follow any of my exes on social media. No, that's not true. I do follow one.
I don't follow any of my exes on social media.
Yeah, no. I get why. It's still, you know, it can every now and then bring up some interesting feelings, associations, but you deal with it. But yeah. I get it.
Yeah.
Cool. Looks like we have a call.
Fuck it. Okay. Yep. Kelly's on the line. Hey, Kelly. You're on with Dr. Chris and I. How can we help you?
Hey, guys. Okay, I'm a little nervous, but I'm really excited to talk to you guys and get kind of like some professional advice about my questions.
Okay,
so I have two different questions, and they're kind of opposite ends of the spectrum, but I'll start with the first one. So my boyfriend and I have been together for a year and a half, and we are like super obsessed with each other, super in love, but we obviously like have our trials and tribulations, and most of that stems around partying. So we both like to party, like drink, sometimes some recreational drugs with our friends and stuff. But my problem is that he's had a rough couple of years, and I'm worried that sometimes he has the inability to say no to some people and that he might be using partying as like a coping mechanism for some of the stress that he has. So, for example, he'll go out with just some of his friends, and I'll stay home. And he'll tell me he's going to be home around a certain time. I'm not all up in his business or anything because I really trust him, but he won't come home until, like, 4, 5, or 6 or something. And I've tried to talk to him about it, and I think I'm maybe just not saying the right things. And I want to – so my question is, how do I approach the topic – and not like a I'm holier than now, I'm better than you way, but that I'm like worried about you, I love you, I kind of see this pattern emerging, and I just want to make sure you're okay and, you know, setting boundaries.
I think just like that. I think everything you just said was very calm. It sounds like you know, You want to? I'm on drugs. I'm sorry.
Yeah, sorry. Amber's high right now, so she's partying herself right here.
I'm really on Love Line right now.
I often like the idea of setting the intention. So if you're going to have a possibly triggering, difficult conversation with someone, start by letting them know why you want to talk to them.
That you care about them. Yeah, you care about because it's coming from a caring place. It's not like I'm doing this and I'm better than you. It's just more so like, babe, I care about you. I feel like you're ODing right now. You need to kind of, you know, chill out.
Is he, do you think he's maybe an addict? That this has become an addiction issue?
I worry about that because I know he has addictive traits in his genetics.
And some of what you're talking about has some signs of symptoms of addiction. You know, he's putting drugs before other important things. He's not able to uphold commitments he's making. It's certainly disrupting your life. He's using it as a way to cope with what you called stress in his life. I would say if someone's going through a really stressful time, that is actually not a period of your life when you should be using drugs and alcohol, because that's when you tend to overuse them. I also think it's fair in a way that, you know, when we're in a relationship, it's okay to let someone know how their lifestyle or in behavior is impacting you. And that's not controlling. That's not complaining.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's called making requests. It's called setting boundaries. And you have to be able to do that. I personally won't date someone that parties. It stresses me out.
Right.
Yeah.
I personally don't. That's not a lifestyle that makes sense for me. I support adults using recreational drugs in healthy ways if it makes sense to them. Mm-hmm. But for me, that's a red flag. I'm out.
Yeah.
It's messy. So if you want to be in this relationship with him, you are allowed to set boundaries saying, I need, if my partner tells me he's going to be home at midnight, I need to trust that he will. And if he won't, he'll let me know if and when.
Yes. And he'll call, And he'll call you at midnight and be like, you know what, babe? It's midnight and I said I would be home, but I'm just letting you know that I want to stay out with my friends maybe for another hour or so. So I'll just keep you posted.
Yes. That's not control. That's care.
Yeah.
Bam. Okay. So it's two separate issues. It's just relational concerns around him not upholding commitments he makes with you and not communicating with you where he's at. And then the second piece is you might have a drug problem.
Okay.
Which means you might not be able to party with him anymore.
Right. I kind of like partying, though. But I'm able to say no when I need to, you know?
Yeah, you have to if you're with someone who's got a problem.
Right. Okay, that really helps. So the second question I have is, like, totally other side of the issues, which is not really a big issue. So I went into the relationship telling him I wanted some form of an open relationship, and we both decided with each other that would mean for us just bringing another woman in to the bedroom, no emotional connections, nothing like that. And we put that on hold right now, just trying to figure out other things, but I just wanted some advice because we've tried when we were kind of looking for that earlier in our relationship. We tried like Tinder and OkCupid and Thrinder, and we messaged with some girls and, like, did group chats, and we almost went on two different dates, but they kind of just ghosted us. Oh. So we are, like, in professional industry, so we don't want to blast our photo around saying, hey, we're, like, trying to fuck someone. But we also don't want to, like, go to a bar and just pick someone up because we want to make sure we're safe with testing and everything. So if you just have any advice about kind of practical ways to, when we get to that point, kind of, I don't know, enter into really that difficult world.
That sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah. First, Kelly, you guys got to get rid of this partying issue. But Amber, you've had many very successful three ways. What's your?
Yeah. All right. Never. And that's not me being judgy. I'm just a fucking square.
Right. Right.
You know, I just haven't. It just sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it sounds an ideal world, like to get like the perfect girl to come through, you know, already tested and like, you know, she's not a weirdo and then she doesn't catch feelings. Yeah. I mean, it's like perfect. But yeah, Dr. Chris, how do you even find that?
Yeah,
it sounds so difficult. Yeah.
In theory, I love the idea of just being out in the world, living your lives, and you both find someone who's attracted to you and you're attracted to them. But that's rarely how it goes. There is Adult Friend Finder, which is another site that's set up for things like this. But essentially, you're going to be relying upon online. And so, yeah, it's kind of what you've been doing already. Tinder, Thrinder and all the different sites that speak to that. But it's not easy.
What if? Okay, so she says she doesn't want to do like her picture of her and her man. But is there any type of like parties, like
swingers?
Yeah. Parties? I mean,
yeah. But that tends to be more swapping. Like, hey, honey, you go over there and find a woman and I'll go over here and find a man.
Right.
You live in Georgia. I know here in L.A. there are, and in some other cities, some
I'm actually in sex LA. Clubs. I'm actually in L.A. Oh. now. I just moved here.
Yeah. Oh, right on. Okay, cool. Well, there's some sex clubs here where adults, they're usually more kink BDSM related, but you will meet individuals that are more open and you can, you know, visit those and strike up conversation and find people. There's also a group here called Sex Positive L.A., which is a really sex positive group of people that get together and have meetups, and they're definitely open to finding thirds and fourths.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Good luck, though. Advice. You got it all there.
Okay, thank you so much, guys.
All right, take care, Kelly. Bye. Yeah, that sounded really difficult.
Did that stress you out?
A little bit.
What I compliment Kelly on, though, is her willingness to have really open, important conversations with her partner. Because you have to be able to have those difficult conversations.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Because me and you have both dated people where, you know, you want to go to them and say, hey, there's some things I'd love for us to work on as a couple. And they're like, you complain. And it's like, that's not fair. I've had that.
It's so fucking annoying. It's so annoying.
You're trying to control me. And it's like, no, I'm not at all. I'm just trying to bring to you some things that I would like to see done differently. Can we talk about it?
Yeah. And it's not like, ew, you need to do this, or, you know, I'm breaking up with you if you don't do that. It's just, it comes from a very calm place of, wow, that's really loud.
Comes from a calm place of, I care about you and us and I want this to work. And so I want to talk about needed changes.
Yeah.
But when someone's saying you're trying to control me, where does that leave us?
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's hard also to be in relationships with people who don't want to allow you to make requests about their career and boundaries and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's very annoying.
Anyway, I'm rambling. Hey, did you know that I'm speaking in LA in February?
February what?
February 24th at UCLA. Link is in my Twitter bio.
I will be there.
And my Instagram.
And what are you going to talk about?
I'm part of the Sexual Health Alliance Sexceptional Lecture Series. My talk is called Outside the Lines, No Orgasm is Neutral, Liberating Sex from Problematic Culture, Psychology, and Normativity.
Ooh. Okay.
So come out, guys.
Damn, son. Yeah, click the link on the bio. And why don't you give him your handle?
Oh, yeah. My Instagram is at Dr. Donahue. It's in my little bio there. But you can find it on my other social media as well.
Welcome back to Loveline with Amber Rose.
Do we have another caller?
Sure do.
Keisha is on the line. Come on, Ann. God. Hey, Keisha. You're on with me.
Hey, what's up, guys?
You're on with me and Dr. Chris. How can we help you?
Okay. So, squirting. Very big topic for me. Maybe for a lot of females. I'm just trying to see, are there any better ways to possibly get this type of orgasm, like on a more regular basis? Everything on the internet is jab, jab, jab.
What does that mean? Poke. Jab, jab, jab.
And I'm over here like really doing like the motion too. Like everything, it just looks really, you know, it's not that great. And then when you actually try it, I don't know about other women, but for my tight little vagina, that shit hurts.
Right.
It does not feel
Girl,
good,
me
and
too.
I don't feel like right. So I'm like, what?
In this example, man, though, what's in you? What's in your vagina that's hurting you? Are we talking about a finger, a penis, a toy? What are we talking about?
Well, men generally try the finger first because, you know, everything online is the two fingers or the one finger, and you're going up in there, and the little picture they show you is like, you know, like you're curving up this way. So put your two fingers out and act like you're pointing at yourself, and that's what I'm doing right now. It looks stupid, but that's what men try to do in your vagina to get you to squirt. And I've done it a few times, but I was kind of drunk, but
It's amazing. So it's like, amazing how drunkenness will take many people to places that they don't.
You know
get to
why
sober.
I think you know. Then you know what the answer is. Sure. What I think it is.
Tell us.
I think that when you're drunk, you're not scared to move your body in certain ways. You're not scared
That's
to
right.
make that ugly
that
ass
part.
Face
That's right.
and
that
get all into it.
Make a mess if you're gonna make
a mess. Smack right. them, choke them. Right. You know all that because when you're drunk, you don't give a fuck. So you could take it to the next level. But when you're sober,
right, I'm like, I don't care about these sheets today.
Exactly. Yeah, you're just really self-conscious probably when you're sober.
Yeah.
Right. Well, see, I don't know, because also I'm in my mid-30s now, and I just also, the last probably 10 years or so, have really gotten to know my clitoris a little bit better. So I think for orgasming, too, it's like that's a different height of orgasm compared to just your regular clitoral stimulation, you know, mm-hmm. along with clitoral stimulation with, you know, the penis inside. So it's like, I don't know, trying to get to that next plateau of orgasm and trying to learn my body, like,
how much
needs
you
some help.
Care. Keisha, you're like, you're this female sexual empowerment icon right now. You are like taking time, you're reading, you're doing research, you're asking for things, you're exploring your body. I mean, the amazing thing that I hope you'll realize is that that whole pelvic area has the capacity to be orgasmic and pleasurable. The urethral area, which we can call like the U spot, the perennial area between your anus and your vaginal opening, we call that the P spot. So like that whole area, tugging on the labial area, like that whole area can be stimulated. So I love that. Look, the squirting thing's hard. Like 6 to 10% of people report being squirters. That's a
you know
a
how I feel about squirting.
Amber hashtag squirt that pee girl. Amber thinks it's pee.
I think it's just pee, and I think that's why girls squirt when they're drunk, because you feel like you gotta pee. And you
right,
because
it does feel like that. It feels like, I'm like, I'm about to piss. No. I guess
yeah.
I can't do
and then while you're getting penetrated, it's like you're drunk. So you're like, fuck it. If some pee comes out, fuck it. Who cares? Mm-hmm. You know?
No, it's coming, dude.
So you like push it out and it feels good at the same time while you're being penetrated. I get it.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Hopefully Dr. Gloffenberg is somewhere in the spirits listening to us. Yes.
He
yes.
sure is. I'll say this, though. Like, one of the things that doesn't help is when someone has an anatomical or physiological goal, that stress tends to move us away from it. So if someone's like, I need to get a rock hard erection and keep it, that anxiety is not going to allow that. And if someone's like, I'm going to orgasm, that anxiety is not going to allow
right.
that. So your best bet of
right.
getting there
focusing.
Is by kind of backing off of making that the goal.
Because
it's all about relaxing. It's all about heightening pleasure. Usually people squirt more from toys or fingers because the curvature is what that stimulates areas that the penis won't, that usually need to be stimulated for orgasm or squirting. So it is usually more fingers.
I have a vibrator, but I don't have anything that goes in there because I'm going to be real. I just don't like dildos.
I get it.
I don't like, I don't know. I like the flesh feeling, but then, yeah, again, trying to get that, you know. So I definitely agree with, I'm definitely probably focusing way too hard on this because it low-key makes me feel like I have, what's it called, FSD. So sometimes it feels like that because, especially when you're getting older and you're trying to figure out your body more, not even figure out, but learning your body more.
Yeah.
And then I've had 2 C-sections, so it's like, you know, every time you get cut, you know, you lose a little sensation. And so just trying to work through a lot of that. And I don't hear a lot of forums, really, where women are at, that are current anyway, where women are talking about orgasm, you know, after childbirth and C-sections for real, as far as, like, you know, how you really want sex.
Because you're not supposed
to.
You're a woman. You're not supposed to enjoy sex after you have kids.
Because then you're a
damn mom. It.
Because then you're
I
a hoe.
Shit. Well, you know what, honey?
I mean, it's just it's so
I'm
society
be, I'm
is so horrible.
Be hoeing then because I need to come.
Okay.
as I was told a couple weeks ago, you got to work on getting your back blown out.
Right.
One of our listeners.
Back blown out.
One of our listeners dropped
wait,
that one. I was like,
Amber,
and hoeing. So look, focus on pleasure, focus on enjoying your body, and I would say focus less on the goal of squirting. And then it's fun all around anyway.
That part I'm definitely working on it because Lord, I'm just like, you know, when you get horny and then again, I call this second puberty where we're in our 30s, we're walking around and it's like, oh, am
yeah.
I wet?
Yeah, yep. Yeah, girl.
Like, no one talks to us
Amber's
about that either.
Amber's going through second
right?
puberty, too.
Because no, because no one, you, no one talks about it. 30s. Amber's the first woman I've ever heard, like, be like, yes. Like,
no, it's true, because I'm 34 now. And your 30s is just such a, it's such a wonderful time for, like, your vagina, because you're wet all the time. You're horny all the time. You just...
Mm-hmm. And hopefully you've done the work, different which Keisha and you have done around being sexually confident.
Yeah.
And so it all kind of aligns up. I mean, that's what I hope for people. By the time they get to their 30s, they're more body positive, or they're like, my body is what it is, and I can have sex at any size or shape. And they're more confident asking for what they want.
Yeah.
And they're exploring what they want and like, and they're centering their own sexuality. Because I have these women patients, and they come in and they say to me, I'm afraid to tell my male partner what positions I need in order to orgasm. Mm-hmm. Or he's just not willing to put the time and effort into it.
Yeah.
Or some men guys, feel a most little self-conscious, aren't. I think, by that clitoral stimulation while they're inside. Because I think it's kind of a male ego thing, maybe, to like, to get a man, you know, to get, I'm going to get you to squirt, girl. Well, nigga, what if I don't want to squirt? Like, I don't know.
Keisha, you're awesome, yo. Check back in with
us. Sorry.
Check back. Call us back.
Enjoy that journey.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks,
I will.
Thanks,
Keisha. Look, next thing I have, I'll call y'all. Don't worry. Thank you, guys.
All right. Bye.
She
was so cute.
I love people like her. She cares. It's interesting to hear all this because I'm in like the opposite place right now. Since my breakup, I just don't have a sex drive.
Yeah, but that's because emotionally you're drained.
Yeah, this is new for me, though. In the past, as soon as I was newly single, I was hypersexual. I was out there, and like, it's the opposite.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of surprising.
I mean, like I said, I feel like, you know, you just have really true feelings. And so, you know, you're just a little hurt right now, and things, you know, will eventually get better, and then you'll get your sex drive back and stuff like that. But
I can't wait, because this is a version of me I'm not that familiar with.
Yeah, it's
I'm
cool.
Just like, I'm good. I'm just chilling.
It gives you time to focus on your business.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah.
Instead of thinking about, you know,
running around
sex and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My back's not getting blown out. But I have been creeping towards the whole dating thing, and I have started to go on dates and just see what that feels like again, to relearn part of myself. it's really scary, because, you know, having been out of that and now being back in it, I'm reminded of the body policing and body shaming that goes on. And I think that's been one of the more powerful things, and just having to encounter some really shitty people.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
Yeah, it isn't. It's like, I remember those days of like dating, and then you're just kind of like, wow, you're a really fucked up person, you know? And you're just like, I can't even believe that people are out there like you.
Yeah.
You know? And it's just kind of like, you know, because we surround ourselves with really positive people.
Correct.
You know what I mean? So like, when we run into people and their weird fucking friends and shit.
But that's the thing, is like the lack of ethics and positive feminist or social justice values is just like, you know, the jokes people make, or I'm like, that's actually not funny. That's,
oh my God. No, totally.
Ugh.
But you know, Dr. Chris, me and you and our listeners, we all have a higher level of thinking.
Sure.
And so when we run into people that are like, oh my God, she's such a hoe. And I'll be like, what?
Oh yeah.
You know, or like,
that's,
she's
it,
a
right
mother.
There.
She needs to, you know, get fucking put clothes on. Like, oh, can we talk about Kim Kardashian's pictures yesterday? Did
sure.
you see? Okay. So her pictures come out, and then I see like, Tammy from Housewives. She has this Instagram called Bonnet Chronicles. And I want to say that I might actually follow her, which I think I might unfollow now.
I don't know
after
who she
that.
Is. I'm not familiar with this person.
Okay. So anyway, she, you know, she kind of goes on like a little rant, which is like usually funny. And she'll just tell you about yourself. And she'll be like, you know, like when your family comes into town, they always want money, you know, just shit like that, that you can relate to as a person. You'll laugh at it and stuff. But yesterday she did a video, and it was like, Kim, you're past that. You're a mother. You're a wife. Like,
oh,
put some fucking clothes on. And like, you know, and then Snoop Dogg retweeted it. Which is like, Snoop, you're a man, first of all. Don't tell a woman what the fuck she needs to do with her body.
Preach.
And, you know, me and Kim, we haven't been the best of friends throughout the years. But besides all that, it's just like I was so frustrated and angry for her because I'm just like, Kim is beautiful and her body is beautiful. And just because she has two kids and a wife doesn't mean that she can't feel desirable. Doesn't mean that she can't, you know, take sexy pictures anymore. Does she need to turn into a fucking nun and, like, you know, all of a sudden just go back to obscurity because she's a mom and, like, just not be sexy anymore? It's such a bizarre
form of shaming and policing that.
But wait, so wait, I'm not done. So I look on, so it's on the Shade Room. And I see that that Snoop Dogg reposted it and the Shade Room reposted it. So I look at all the comments. Everyone was like, yes, bitch. Tell him, Tammy, girl. What? Like, you know, Kim needs to go sit her fucking ass down. And she got kids. She needs to put some goddamn clothes on. Man. And I was just like, how is this life? Like, how is it 10,000 comments of people telling a woman what she needs to put on?
Right.
Or, you know, what type of picture she needs to take, or insinuating that she's not a good mom or she's not taking care of her kids because she's having a photo shoot is absolutely fucking ridiculous to me. And it really pissed me off.
Yes. I love that you said, how is this life? Because I watched some comments people posted on Tess Holliday's page where they're talking about her body and her health.
Yeah.
So they're health policing. I also saw an article that just came out where Dane Cook, the comedian, his girlfriend is 19 and he's 40, and their ageist comments were like, that's gross. And it's like, well, that's weird, because me and Amber, we both date younger people.
Yeah.
Because age doesn't promise health at all, you know?
Right.
And then you're talking about this where they're slut shaming a mom who's confident in her sexuality and right. working on female sexual empowerment. Like, if you have nothing nice to say, don't say anything. Like,
just shut it the says fuck something up.
So powerful about your mental health. If you think it's acceptable to go on someone else's public page or talk publicly about them poorly, it says more about you.
So I go on Snoop's page.
Oh God.
And he deleted it. Cause I feel like all our people, all the feminists right. were like, Snoop, shut the fuck up. Like, you cannot. But see, going back to a lot of guys, they don't know any better.
Right.
You know, he's. And so, and then I see memes. It's like, it's women versus hoes, and what? It's like Beyonce and then a picture of Kim, and it's like, what?
Beyonce's the woman and Kim's the hoe?
Yeah.
How's that work?
You know, and it's just like, it's just, you know, listen, it's so frustrating. It's like, why does anybody have to be a hoe? Why do you have to use a derogatory label on a woman that's comfortable in her sexuality?
Well,
it's so frustrating, and it's the reason why I started my slut walk, because it's like, and Snoop, like, Snoop? Why are you reposting that?
I agree. I mean, here's the thing. You respect women or you don't. And if your respect for them is determined on what they're wearing or how they're living out in the world, well, then you don't. And
it's horrible.
Yeah. So anyway, from man to man, you guys need to knock that
guys,
shit off.
Guys, please stop telling women what to do with their fucking bodies.
And
seriously,
if female sexuality scares you, go back to your room and work on that privately on your own. Don't shame me.
And not even that, women, if you want to dress covered up and conservative, by all means, go and fucking do that. But don't judge the next bitch. Let her live her life. Let her be happy. If she can do it all, if she can take nude pictures and raise her fucking kids and make her man happy and live her fucking life, then let her do it and don't be a fucking hater.
Yep.
It's horrible. I was so pissed yesterday laying in my bed.
You're like, mama's trying to heal. I don't need, you know, this aggravation.
Yeah, like, it was okay. Like stressing my tits out.
My blood needs to stay in the booberry healing. I don't need to go into my hands and my head.
I just couldn't fucking believe it. But you know what was weird is that Kim got a lot of shit, but for some reason when I posted my bush picture, I didn't get as much shit. Right. Actually, I got more love, if anything.
Yeah. Guess who I saw? I jumping in on this was Piers Morgan. I saw him. He tweeted in around the Kim thing, I believe.
Like, he's always popping attention. In on that. Yeah. He's such a dick.
But I laughed thinking, like, here's another white cis hetero dude weighing in on
what a woman needs to Shut up. You are so white privileged. Shut the fuck up. Ugh. Hannah. Are you on the phone, girl? Because I got it. Oh.
Yes. Yes, I've been on the phone. With
oh
them.
My God.
No pressure, but what do you, you better have something good
Jesus
for
us. Jesus Christ. People, oh my, oh my God.
I've just been over listening and like frying tofu and loving it.
My vegan sister. Thank you. I love you for that.
Yes. Yes. Oh my gosh. Tofu. Vegan for life. What's
so what's
up?
Going on?
How can we help you, babe?
Hi. So I have kind of a, I guess it's a question for both of you, but I feel like it's maybe more of a Dr. Chris question. My husband and I have been together for 5 years. We've had a really great sex life from the start. But the one thing he really wants to do that we've tried and I just can't get into is pegging.
Can you just explain that to people, those that are listening? That's when you strap on a dildo and you penetrate him, generally.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. You strap on a dildo and you basically just, like, do doggy style. You can do, like... like style. Missionary even. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you try it already and it wasn't your thing, or he still wants you to try it?
Okay, so I've tried it I think now like 4 different times, and there's nothing stimulating me.
Right.
I can just like watch that he's having like the best orgasm ever, which is great, and I'm like, I obviously like want him to have that, but I just can't like mentally feel sexual while in like a dominant situation. Like I just can't take myself seriously with a strap on. I feel like it looks funny.
Yeah. I mean, this is actually a beautiful conversation because there's so much in there. Number one, everyone assumes or expects heterosexual men to be tops or doms, and they're not. Some of them are subs, where they like to be approached for sex. They like their female partner to initiate. They like him like to be in a submissive position where the female's strapping on and dominating him. I mean, I applaud you for being willing to do it. I think in loving relationships, when our partner asks us to do something that's safe, I think it's appropriate to do it even if you're not that into it. I think it's okay to focus on what's pleasurable for him. It might seem a little hokey or, you know, not hot to you, but it's okay to do that anyway sometimes.
I agree. Yeah, I think like, you know, I mean, let's say you wanted him to do something that he wasn't necessarily
go down on
into.
You. Not yeah. all men even want to go down on women.
Very true. But you would want him to do it. Yeah, and you would want him to be into it because you yes. could tell if he's not into it, you're not going to be into it. I know that's yeah. me. Like, I could tell if somebody's not into it, I'm just going to be like, forget about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So yeah, just all you have to do is when you're pegging him, just get into your feminine aura. Do, you know, flip your hair back, you know, do while you put one hand on him, the other hand, like rub on your titties or something like that.
Stimulate yourself. Because here's the thing. Yeah. You don't have to strap on. If he likes anal stimulation, he might be down for you to just use a toy on him. And then he could be, okay. depending on your position, he could be using a toy on you while you're using a toy on him. He could be, I mean, there's ways to move bodies around where you could be just using a dildo on him or a vibrator while he's pleasuring you as well, or you're pleasuring yourself. So it might not have to be doggy or whatnot. Play with that. I mean, I'm not going to go there, but yeah.
Yeah, just, I mean, just, personal story just if I you just start back. Using your feminine mannerisms during doing that, you can still be very sexy and feminine, especially missionary.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I'm excited now. I just, he's so good to me, and he'll try anything I want to try and be so into it. And I'm like a little envious, and I want to be that way for him. And kind of get out of my rut, because I like to do like the same, like 3 things.
Well, that's the thing. That's what happens. Like if you're in a monogamous relationship, then our partners are inherently limited by what we're willing to do or not do. And that can get boring. And so it's like, if you take off the table what you won't do and you take off the table what he won't do, you're just going to do whatever's left over. And that's sometimes just like 1 or 2 things. And that doesn't always allow for a long-term happy sex life. And so you got to be willing to kind of expand and push yourself. So I love that. I like anal stimulation. Last woman I was with, she was willing to put her fingers in that area. I fucking loved it.
Yeah. Well, that's the cool thing about guys, that they have a prostate. Lucky fuck. They Amber's fucking get everything.
You just see look on Amber's face when she says it. She's like flipping the table. She's like, not fair.
You know, so like,
I need more things. I want more ways to have an orgasm.
Right. Yeah. Cool. Guys are lucky in that way. So, but yeah.
And,
yeah. Good luck with that, babe. Call us back. Let us know what happened.
I will, and I hope your boobs are feeling great.
Thank you, honey. I'm getting there.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much, guys.
Bye.
All right, bye.
Bye.
I love. Oh yeah. Okay. What's the word I'm using? Progressive open couple. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
What would
the
you
fact
so
that
how,
he,
yeah.
The fact that he came to her and was like, I want you to peg me is like, that means that they have a really great friendship.
Are
on
you
top
down
of
for
it.
That?
Yeah, I would try that. I mean, if my man came to me in a very comfortable way, like he trusted me with that,
yeah.
I would for sure.
Because, you know, women listeners, it's in our culture, which is very femphobic and homophobic. It can feel emasculating for a guy to be shamed for approaching his female partner and saying like, hey, I would love for you to stimulate that area with a finger, a toy, your mouth. So if they
yeah,
do
but,
that.
Yeah, but you know, what we say all the time is that, you know, it's not gay if it's coming
exactly.
from a woman. So
yeah.
a lot of, you know, a lot of girls too will be like, is my boyfriend gay? Because
yeah.
he wants me to
no.
play with his
Anything
ass.
Anything a hetero couple does is hetero. But if a guy comes to you and does that and you're not into it, don't shame.
Yeah.
Just say like, hey,
I mean,
don't
my
know
whole thing is like,
that.
If you're in a relationship, just try it.
I agree.
Like, it's like saying, I don't like sushi, but you never had it.
Yeah. Well, it's also, yeah, it's also saying, I don't want to give you pleasure. I don't want to be as intimate and close. Like, it's not going to hurt you. You're going to be okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's good to give your partner things that they like.
All right. We have one more caller. Come on, Anne. You're making my boobs hurt. Make sure you lock that door. So, hey, Liz.
Hey.
Hey, you're on with me and Dr. Chris. How can we help you?
Oh, my God. That's crazy. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I love you guys so much.
We love you too.
So, just want to quickly say, like, you guys are awesome. Thank you for, like, everything that you do. I know, like, everyone says that, but, like, it truly, like, changes my life. Like, it's awesome.
Thanks.
But basically, so my question is, so a little bit of background, I started dating this guy in like October. I've known him for like 10 years. We're like super good friends, like all that stuff. And everything's great. But then, so we've had this girlfriend like this year pass, and they were dating for like 3 years. So a long time, obviously. Mm-hmm. So basically, she still texts him occasionally and is like, you know, sort of tells her life and like vents to him, and he like answers because like he's kind of like the nice guy and like just like wants to like, he doesn't want to give anyone the cold shoulder and stuff like that.
Wait,
like,
stop there for one second. He is only yeah. responding because he would feel bad to not respond. He's not responding or saying because he's interested in maintaining a friendship.
He's like interested in like staying friends with her, but like she only texts him. And, like, he just feels bad and answers and, like,
but there's
gives
a difference.
Her, like, life.
You're kind of saying both at the same time. He wants to be your friend, but he's only responding because he feels bad. Which is it? Because if you want to be friends with someone, you respond.
I mean, okay, friends, it. Like, what? Do they go out to eat together? Do they, like, just hee-hee-ha-ha on the phone? You know, or is it, like, she randomly texts him and he's like, oh, she's texting me. Like, I feel bad. I got to text her back.
Well, and the reason why I ask is
so
because that's
like
not
that.
Friendship or kindness. If,
right.
If you don't want a relationship with someone, don't give them the message you do, even as a friend. That's not fair. That's not nice. No one, I wouldn't want a friend to pretend to be my friend. Like, that's how you build resentment. Just, if he's not interested.
Yeah.
In her friendship, he's only feeling bad. He should tell her that, like, hey, this isn't comfortable for me. Thank you for reaching out, but I'm focusing on my girlfriend. Bam, done. But if your question
yeah.
is he does want a friendship, that's different.
Yeah, so I guess it's more of the fact that he feels bad because he's like, I don't want
to
give anyone the cold shoulder. Like, I'm just not that person.
He needs to. He has to lovingly let her down.
Agreed.
Period.
Yeah, because he's in a new relationship with you and he's happy with you. And so, you know, he needs to be like, look, so-and-so, you know, I don't hate you. You know, I still care about you and everything, but, you know, I'm just moving on and I'm in a committed relationship right now. So I don't need you to fucking text me.
So and no one wants a forced friendship. I believe that if she knew he really was interested in a friendship with her, she wouldn't want to try. You know, that just feels bad.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I mentioned to him, I was like, I don't know, it makes me feel like you're kind of like when he tells me, I sort of get upset because, like, you know, I don't know, like, what's going on and, like, if he's, like, you know, pulling some shit on the side or whatever. But I don't think he is. But I just feel like I get upset. So I'm like, So he's like, I don't want to tell you because I feel like you get upset, but then, like, I want to tell you because I don't want to keep secrets from you. And I'm like, it's just, like, a hard balance. It's, like, a hard thing to, like, wrap my brain around because, like, I'm friends with my exes, but, like, I don't really, like, I don't know, talk to them on the regular and, like, vent to them about my life or anything. So it's just hard for me to, like, wrap my head around, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I think you should just tell him that you feel some type of way about it, and
yeah,
maybe you can just tell him that, like, look, I think that you responding to her is making her feel like you guys can be close.
Yes.
And that's why she keeps texting you, yes. But you got to let her know that, you know, it's just not that type of party anymore.
Yeah, exactly. And she's, like, texting his friends and is like, is he still talking about me? Oh, like, wow. Does he love her? And, like,
yeah,
she's
but,
like,
so that's, still okay, into him.
That's another layer. That makes this whole thing completely unacceptable.
See, that's what I said.
She isn't seeking friendship. Your boyfriend, like, is being a little too sensitive to everyone's feelings. Sometimes the most caring acts and most healthiest adult acts are going to feel bad. That's okay. We do it anyway. If she's actively seeking more than friendship, she's not respecting the relationship. And let me say this, hear this said. We only have friends that are friends of our relationship. If our friends are not supportive of our relationship and our partners, we can't have them in our relationship. We can't have them in our life as friends. All
that
your friends
so,
should be supportive of your relationship, period.
That was a gem. Truthfully,
yes. There are dropping gems.
Wow. Dropping gems. Oh, like, yeah, that's so true. And it's like, I know where, like, the place she's coming from is not from, like, a friendly place.
Yeah.
It's from, like, a place of, hey, I want you back. And I'm like, I'm not down for that.
Not,
like,
a friend of the relationship. You know. Boundary set.
Yes.
Bam. Yeah.
Set them boundaries.
Tell your boyfriend,
bro.
Dr. D told him.
I'm going to tell him because I tell you, I, like, talk about you guys all the time. And he's just like, oh, yeah, like, I've let him listen to, like, a few podcasts, and he, like, is, like, so shocked by, like, all the things, but, like, is, like, you know, like, likes them.
He's getting pegged tonight.
I'm like, tonight. This is what I listen to, like, every day.
Does he know? You're going to listen to this episode. You're going to be pegging your boyfriend in a week. Mark my word. Listen back to this episode. He doesn't know it's coming.
Oh, my God. That's too funny. Well, thank you guys so much. That was awesome.
All right, babe. Thank you.
Bye. Have a good day, guys.
All right. Bye-bye. All right, so call us with your questions and leave a voicemail at 213-375-5258. That's 213-375-5258. Make sure you subscribe, lovelinewithamberrose.com, and obviously use the hashtag loveline when you talk about us. And we will talk to you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.